Across the ASEAN, only on Money FM 89.3.
You're listening to Across the ASEAN here on Money FM 89.3. And barring today's pullback for Indonesian stock markets and the JCI, we are seeing more reasons to be optimistic with regards to the region's largest economy. They are coming off their first contraction since the 1998 Asian financial crisis, but there are some signs of excitement, specifically in the potential electric vehicle battery space, and also an interesting and mouthwatering merger among two of their largest tech unicorns. Today on Money FM 89.3, we're joined once again by Mr. John Rachmat, who is the strategist at PT Pinnacle Investments. He's here to share with us his thoughts on Indonesian markets moving forward and what he makes of all of these interesting and potentially game-changing moves in the Indonesian economy. Mr. Rachmat, thank you so much for joining us today. Glad to hear you and your loved ones are still in good health and safe in these times. And happy Chinese New Year, sir, or happy Year of the Ox.
Thank you so much for having me. Happy New Year.
You know, we have to go back to 1998, actually, the Asian financial crisis, which everybody, I'm sure, in the region has a memory of, at least those who were alive during that time. And that was the last time we actually saw Southeast Asia's largest economy, or Indonesia, go through an economic contraction. Now, there are some who are expecting a strong recovery. Are you among those who are optimistic? And if so, what do you think are going to be the key drivers that will determine whether or not Indonesia can get back on its feet and stay on its feet?
Yeah, with regard to that economic recovery, I'm a lot more optimistic about that prospect now for Indonesia than, let's say, 2 months ago. The main reason is that the key to economic recovery is a success in handling the COVID-19 pandemic. Yeah, the main reason for my getting a lot more confident now is that we have a new Minister of Health, which is far more effective in handling the virus as compared to the previous one. Indonesia has already secured vaccines from China, particularly, but the logistics of distributing, you know, those vaccines to, they're targeting 181.5 million people in all, and because there are two doses of vaccine for each person, in practice, they have to deliver more than 360 million jabs. Mm-hmm. Now, they want to do this, you know, within a year. That means one day they have to vaccinate more than 930,000 people. At the current rate, they're only vaccinating about 60,000 people a day. So if you had used this current rate, then it will take 10 years for Indonesia to vaccinate, you know, just to get into the herd immunity level. Not everybody, just enough, say 70% of population, 10 years. Mm-hmm. So that would have stung the economy first. But the new Minister of Health is a much more hands-on person. He has a very track record as a professional, and his mind is very methodical. So he's coming up with all sorts of solutions. He's actually roping in a few private companies like Unilever, who has very deep experience about distributing cold storage, you know, products across the whole of Indonesia. So that really gives me a lot more hope that the Indonesian government will be able to deliver that vaccination program.
You've highlighted also how important it is to vaccinate this, what is not just Southeast Asia's largest population, but also one of their younger populations. As we know, Indonesia also very much consumer-driven. So how important is it going to be to boost consumer sentiment out in Indonesia? And are you seeing signs of that already happening, Mr. Rachmat?
Yes. Now, the dampener on the household consumption last year, as well as currently, is of course that Indonesia still imposes some form of lockdown. It's a very mild form of lockdown, but there is. And as long as this mild form of lockdown continues to apply, then it's very difficult to expect the economy as a whole to have, you know, a strong recovery. Now, there are certain sections of the economy which are enjoying very good rebounds at the moment. But for the overall household consumption, we really need to best the virus in order to have this countrywide recovery. So that vaccination program is very important. Now, the government is also fortunate that Bank Indonesia has stated its willingness to do another burden sharing scheme this year. It was done already last year. It will be done again this year. This is very critical in helping the Indonesian government to finance its large budget deficit. And these deficits are really needed, really, to, you know, provide some kind of fiscal support for the poorest of the population in Indonesia.
And as we know, Mr. Rachmat, the Bank of Indonesia also set to make their policy decision pretty soon. Do you think that policymakers might decide to cut rates, especially given the rupiah has also had a very strong start to 2021? It seems that many forex analysts, at least, have sounded out that the rupiah will continue to flex and make gains for the most part. How are you anticipating the next policy decision?
To us, actually, BI rate cut really more symbolic than anything else. Mm-hmm. You know, if we are talking about impact on economy, it's very minimal. Credit growth last year was very minimal. As you can expect, in this kind of recessionary time, banks in general do not like to lend. So just the fact that the central bank is cutting interest rates does not necessarily mean that you'll get a stronger loan growth. So it's signal, if you like, that the central bank is confident about the currency outlook. Now, I have to caution that, I mean, yes, there is scope for the central bank to do that, and some economists expect that in the next BI governor meeting, they will actually cut another 25 basis points. But I just want to caution people, the last 2 or 3 weeks, you have seen that the U.S. Treasury bond yield has actually started to rise. And it's now, if not mistaken, past 1.13% for the 10-year, you know, benchmark series. So that is really should be giving pause for any central banks in emerging markets who want to give this kind of you know, interest rate cut, in my opinion.
If this does lead to a stronger dollar, and many have actually said that an emerging market rebound that will involve markets like Indonesia, for instance, will be pegged on whether or not the dollar is weak. But if we start to see rates rise in the U.S. and this also provides support for the U.S. dollar, how might this undermine or potentially undermine the rosy outlook on emerging markets like Indonesia?
Again, I have to say Indonesia is in a very fortunate position at the moment. Just to highlight one other negative factor, please note that crude oil price has started to creep up as well. The WTI a few days ago passed $60 per barrel, for example, having spent most of last year in the $40 to $50 range. So that might be potentially bad news for rupiah, because Indonesia is a net oil importer. And hence, rising crude oil price would actually damage the current account deficit and hence the currency. However, because the Indonesian economy is still going through a very difficult patch, therefore the oil consumption, petrol consumption generally has been relatively low as compared to normal time. And hence the increase in the crude oil price is not really doing that much damage as normally we would expect. At the same time, because the China economy is actually recovering much faster than many other countries, and China is big consumers of commodities, it's the biggest consumer of coal, for example, and Indonesia is the second largest producer of coal. So on the export side, Indonesian trade balance is having a really good time, you know, with all this big volume and price increases in commodities such as coal or crude palm oil or nickel, tin, copper, and so on and so on. So the January trade balance actually showing a $2 billion surplus, for example. So all this is really special for Indonesia. I cannot generalize for emerging markets generally. But all this, if you like, lucky position helped to insulate Indonesia from the effect of all that rising treasury yield in U.S. as well as maybe a strengthening of the U.S. dollar.
So in some ways, it's this rise in commodity prices, and we do count Indonesia as a major player in a number of these you know, commodity markets, such as nickel, for instance, copper and whatnot. Mm-hmm. This rise might actually buttress any potential inflation that's driven by the rise in oil. Is that the understanding I'm getting, Mr. Rachmat?
Yes, that's right. That's right. So, you know, the biggest danger for the burden-sharing scheme that Bank Indonesia is conducting for the benefit of the Indonesian government is, of course, if inflation rises. Because then, you know, at the same time, as because practically burden-sharing means quantitative easing, which is increasing the money supply by leap and bounds, right? So if under that kind of circumstances, inflation starts to rise, then the central bank will really have to plow back doing a very aggressive sterilization, which would really undone all the positive impacts of the burden sharing scheme. So given the fact that all the rising crude oil price and the rising dollar, with strengthening of dollar and so on, are not really damaging the Indonesian trade balance that much. That is really the key point for 2021.
All right. We're still speaking to Mr. John Rachmat, the strategist at PT Pinnacle Investment here and across the ASEAN, to get his outlook on Indonesian markets and the economy and a very interesting potential new sector. There are murmurs, Mr. Rachmat, about Indonesia becoming a more prominent player in the global electric vehicle supply chain. The likes of Tesla and the Korean battery makers have talked about setting up facilities to assemble electric vehicle batteries there. And as we know, Indonesia, also the world's largest nickel producer. How big a deal of this is in terms of reshaping Indonesia's economy, and which sectors might stand to gain a potential positive shift or change for the most part?
You know, if President Jokowi actually decides to go seriously about this electric vehicle, he would have done enormous good for the economy, not just for this or next year, but for decades ahead. The main point being that the biggest reason for damaging current account deficit so far the last 5-7 years in Indonesia has been the fact that, as I mentioned, Indonesia is a net importer of crude oil. However, if we switch, you know, our transportation from diesel and petrol vehicles to electric vehicles, we will stop the biggest bulk of the need of that import of oil and then switch to electricity production, raw material of which, being mostly coal in Indonesia, it's actually produced domestically. So there'll be no more need to find, you know, desperately trying to find dollars to finance all these imports of crude oil. So that is really key. Now, at the moment, Pak Jokowi is very focused on trying to attract major manufacturers. So he's talking to a few Chinese manufacturers of electric vehicles. He's talking to LG from Korea. He is also talking to the famous Elon Musk and so on. Mm-hmm. And all that is one side of the EV story. But there is another side, which in my opinion, the government needs to pay a lot more attention to, which is the charging station. Mm. Now, just to draw comparison with Singapore, who is also very serious about these electric vehicles, in the government budget announced yesterday, for example, Singapore is aiming to have over 60,000 charging points across Singapore. You know, that's for a population of 5.5 million people. And we do not see the same level of commitment for that build-up of charging points in Indonesia as yet. Because, you know, as far as the potential buyers of electric vehicles are concerned, yes, price is one thing. Running costs would be a lot cheaper with electric vehicles. But if you have much difficulty trying to charge, you know, your vehicles, then what's the point? This is something that Jokowi really need to focus on.
Finally, Mr. Rachmat, I do want to get your thoughts on this very exciting news coming out of Indonesia. Talk about a growing merger between giants. Gojek and Tokopedia are said to be close to creating a mega unicorn and possibly a dual listing in New York and Jakarta. You don't get this kind of news from emerging markets, especially in the ASEAN space, every single day. Can you talk to us about how investors in Indonesia are viewing this potential news and what the magnitude of this merger, if it can be completed, will mean for Indonesia and markets moving forward?
Yeah, naturally, investors are very excited. Now, the thing is, if, for example, if you compare the Indonesian index, you know, the JCI index as compared to, let's say, S&P 500 in America over the last 3-4 years, say, from 2017, mm-hmm. the S&P 500 has really risen to great heights, whereas the composite index practically is just moving nowhere in the past 3 years. And part of this reason is that, you know, the really thriving tech sector, technology sector in the U.S. and China also, I have to mention, whereas nothing in Indonesia comes close to that kind of listed companies in U.S. and China. So having Gojek or Tokopedia listed will be a big boost, enormous boost for the stock exchange of Indonesia. Now, of course, they're talking about dual listing, which I can understand because you probably can get a much better valuation in the American market than in the Indonesian market. But talk first about the motivation for this merger. Now, the problem is a lot of these, you know, online digital businesses are still not making money. They are still in the phase of, you know, spending a lot of cash, burning a lot of cash, trying to secure customers and trying to make sure that the wider population get used to the idea of transacting online. So that obviously consumed a lot of capital. Now, the venture capitalists who have been financing these two behemoths so far think that, you know, at this point is a really good time to actually go public because they're probably not that far away anymore from breaking even and starting to deliver a positive accounting profits. And if you remember what happened to Amazon, for example, for years and years, Amazon has been in the red, you know, in the beginning. But once it turns positive, then the growth in the stock price just explodes, right? So that is the main reason why investors, I think both in America and Indonesia, are very excited with this prospect.
Mr. John Rachmat, strategist at PT Pinnacle Investment Firm, thank you so much for joining us today on Across the ASEAN to discuss all the developments in the Indonesian economy. As always, I wish you and your loved ones continued health and safety during these times and a pleasant rest of the week ahead. Thanks so much, sir,
thank
and good
so
afternoon.
Much. Thank you.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.